Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, may I have your attention, please? Are you ready to engage in a mind-blowing experience and hear talks about life, technology, entertainment, and business? The next episode of Hip to Talks starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Hi everyone, Zoltan here. We're back again with Hip to Talks. Today we are going to dive into the esports sector in the gaming industry. And I have with me Oliver Niner, head of sales at Pandascore. Hi Oliver, nice to see you.
Hi Zoltan, nice to see you too.
It's been a while. Oliver has been a speaker at our virtual conferences in the past, but for the audience that doesn't know Oliver, I would like to ask you to share a few words about yourselves and say a few words about Pandascore as well.
Sure. So, hi, everyone. My name's Oliver Niner. I'm head of sales at Pandascore. I've been in the industry for nearly 20 years now. I've been at Pandascore now for 2 years. We are here. Our mission is to essentially drive growth through the esports betting platform, product, and through the vertical. We supply odds and data, enabling operators to do that. We've seen some fantastic growth in the last, since I've joined and even before that. So it's an exciting time for esports. And, you know, I'm very happy to talk on behalf of a great company.
All right. So like any other vertical as an operator, you need to invest in building the right tools and to reap the awards. And in the past, operators have prioritized other titles over esports, despite its strong year after year growth, which has been seen everywhere. And so today with Oliver, we are going to talk about the roadmap of moving forward and why operators should include esports. So my first question would be, based on how esports betting has developed over the past few years, has the way that operators value esports changed?
Definitely, it has. And I'm hoping it still continues on the path it has been. I mean, operators are seeing the benefits of growth. So what you have with esports is essentially you have the opportunity, unlike with other sports that they have in there. So we'll focus on sports for a moment, like within a sports book. You don't have that much opportunity for growth within that. You know, that if we're looking at the kind of left-hand nav of an operator where you have a list of sports, you have football, tennis, basketball, you don't really see too much. It's not like, you know, there may be like niche sports like golf or like F1 or something like that, where there's some product development and things, but you don't see huge amounts of growth and change in popularity between those sports. With esports, what you generally have is you have the opportunity for that sport from being, say, something like 2% of an operator's revenues to going up to 5 or 8. And we've seen, you know, we know customers and people who aren't our customers where esports is their number 3, you know, it's behind football and tennis. And that's even without including, you know, the e-soccer and e-basketball battles and that kind of product, which is another kind of vertical, which has had growth. But, you know, as we would see it, the kind of pure form of esports, so the CSGO, League of Legends and Dota 2 and Valorant and the rest, those have the true opportunity to actually grow to a level that we don't know where that would go. And that's exciting. And I think operators are starting to see that. We're having more people reach out to us and saying, we're evaluating our esports product, evaluating our offering, and we want someone to work with a partner who can drive that growth because it's not capped yet. You know, no one's seen the potential. There's no ceiling yet, if that makes sense.
All right. So it's a good thing that they are seeing much more value because value has been there always. And how have these changes been reflected on the technical side? That's what I'm also interested in. And is there more room for esports in the operator's roadmap?
We're still fighting I've worked operator side, so I know that, you know, you are always fighting for resource. You're fighting, and that's not just on product. So there's always an initial So when you're assessing kind of technical bandwidth at an operator, you're fighting not only, you know, before you even get to the question of what products do I want in my roadmap and what are we prioritizing, you're fighting for technical bandwidth on, you know, your infrastructure, your compliance, all these other things which take up huge amounts. And then you get around to product, and then they have to make difficult decisions. Now, at that level, we are fighting and we're doing better than we were. I think that, you know, it's down to people like myself and other people in senior positions in esports provider companies to evangelize and say, look, you know, let's prioritize esports here, because like I said, you've got unlimited or uncapped growth potential there. I think it's still tough. I'm not going to lie to you, Zoltan. It is tough. You know, operators will, they will pick something that they feel they know. You know, they'll pick something, some sports which they're more comfortable with, or a casino game or something like that, which are prioritized because they feel that's, I know I'm going to get X level of uplift. And esports is, well, we know we're going to get some uplift, but we're not sure where that could go and where that's going to be. So there is that still that doubt in there. But I think we're starting to win that argument. I think, again, more operators are coming back and kind of saying, look, we're prioritizing esports this year. We're getting less of the, oh, it is important, but it will come, you know, if we get this and this done. But it is, you know, it's my job. You know, I'm a senior sales professional in the industry to say to operators, look, you guys, this is move now. You know, other people are moving, big companies are moving. And, you know, we're working with William Hill. We're working with Betfred. You know, these are big companies. You know, 365 have a great product as well. You know, the leading companies there are really pushing and seeing the value in esports. So, you know, if you don't do it, you'll be left behind and you'll be taking an also ran product. And that's, you know, that's something to consider.
All right. So is the technical challenge perceived as a challenge by the operators or mostly for the provider side?
I think it's a new bandwidth. The technicality of it. We put a lot of effort into our API and into our integration to make it as smooth as possible. And strategically for us, and working with us in a direct way, is something that we think operators should do. Now, there are questions about do you work through aggregators? Do you try and take as many kind of esports providers as you can through an aggregator? I don't think you get the best out of the potential for the product growth by doing that way. But there is a perception, and I think it is only a perception, that if you want to fit something in, then you have to get, you know, simpler for you to work with an aggregator rather than pursuing a direct integration. And I think that's because, again, of the mindset of I've only got a very, very small amount of technical resource to devote to new products. But if I've also got this aggregator who can give me all this product, then I get more from that. I think that's a narrow approach, and I think you should look at each integration on its own merits and how easy it is and what that can deliver and what ultimately having that direct relationship would give you in terms of your product, you know, your product span.
All right. So in many cases, and the operators are using suppliers such as your company, such as PandaScore, to power their esports offering. And are there any technical implications for operators building their roadmap in these cases?
Again, we do it very simply. So I don't think there's anything, I don't think you need any specialist knowledge or do anything particularly different. I think if you want to grow esports and grow, you know, you want to kind of evangelize and grow it and produce something which is really, you know, you have a really strong product, then I think the choice of product matters. You know, does the product deliver the feature sets you want? You know, we've got Bet Builder product, we've got a microbetting product coming, we've got our player props do really well, we've got a lot there. And that's actually one of the benefits of esports in generally. There's a lot more innovation, there's a lot more in there. So I suppose on a technicality perspective, there's a lot more that you can consume. So therefore, maybe that's a bit more complicated, but it's worth it because you get stuff that you don't get with other sports which drive that growth. It's still a developing and exciting product. But I don't think, you know, again, it's incumbent on us as a supplier to make the process as easy as possible. And I think we do that. You know, we've got a great integration team, we've got a great customer success team that really look after our customers as they do things. I have to excuse my dog in the background, but yeah,
no worries.
I think it's incumbent on the supplier to do that job, you know, and we do it. We take it really seriously, and I think we do it really well. But I don't think there's anything different to do a technical integration as an
e-sports company. All right. So what opportunities are available to operators who make room in their roadmap to improve their esports offering?
Can you repeat that again, please, Arta?
I wanted to know about the opportunities that are available to operators who want to improve their esports offering.
Yeah, I mean, that's abundant. Again, it comes down to similar things that I said before. It's there is so much scope for innovation in esports. We've developed esports specific bet builder products for all of the big ones. So we did CSGO, we've done League of Legends, we've done Dota 2. We're always developing new stuff. So if we look at something like, say, look at League of Legends, we have unique models for each of the different elements of the League of Legends game. So we have a unique model for the towers, for the gold, for the blood. You know, we have those different things. So the innovation drives itself because it's slightly... It's like a separate sports book in of itself. So you have a different set of innovation possibilities per title. And that's really exciting. And that's what's really interesting. You're essentially saying your esports is grouped together. And in a real sense, I like to say the analogy, that's a bit like grouping together all of the sports that use the bat in a way. And that's a thing. And it's when you look at esports like that, you look at the differences between CSGO and Valorant, and they're two games which have a similar kind of play, but they have different user bases, they have different kind of user experiences, and people have different things. The scope is huge.
All right. I want to also ask you about data analytics and reporting. And let me know if what kind of data analytics and reporting do you provide to your clients to help them understand player behavior and engagement?
That's a really good question. It's something we really got into. So we're starting on the journey in terms of the marketing piece. We are a data company. That's our pedigree. So that's where how we see ourselves, and how we see what we do. And one of the things we do is we work with our partners. So we encourage them to give us a real-time bet log. And what that does is that helps us to develop out our models and the performance of those models within that. So it's very, very important to us. And we will do that with our front-end tools. I mean, we want to start consuming and understanding the player journey and the user experience and how that impacts and what the player behaviors are like how that's different between an esports player and a sportsbook player. Because we know anecdotally, you know, I know that I've been told it and I've seen it, but it's anecdotal. We know that there are different behaviors of esports player bettors. And what we really want to do is get the data around that and take some learnings. And that's, again, part of PandaScore's pedigree. We want to kind of see, before we make judgments, we want to see. I think it's quite early for that as well. I don't think anyone's doing that. And I think it's something that we're starting to do. And I think in a year's time, I'll hopefully be able to give more meat on the bones about that. But
all right,
it's early. But I think, and it's super exciting. Again, imagine that we go back to the point about growth and about potential.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even know how an esports player behaves on the front end and what that path looks like. That's completely untapped. So, you know, that's exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Forward thinking opportunity. And they I also want to ask you about security. Because that's also something that has to be taken into account. And what kind of security measures do you have in place to protect player data and prevent unauthorized access?
So for player data, it's not really something that that's not really our wheelhouse as an odd supplier.
Yeah.
What we can do is we can make sure that we, so integrity is at the heart of what we do, and is how it is incredibly important to how our trading team operate. We're very, very careful, and we have standards in terms of the tournaments and competitions we offer. We have age verification within our APIs. So we, you know, if an operator has, if there's, shall we say, compliance issues with offering games where maybe there's a quota of underage players, you know, under 18 or something like that, and that can be a thing with esports. We store that data and we pass it on to the operator and say, you know,
all right,
for the game if you want. We're part of ESIC, which is important to us. So we're part of the group, which essentially monitors and looks at the betting and looks at the betting patterns and looks for any match fixing, that kind of thing. It is incredibly important to us. I can't stress how important it is to our head of trading. We really are selective about the tournaments we offer. There's a big temptation in the betting industry to just offer bucket loads of content. And that's fine if you want to do that. But for us, we're picky about what we offer.
That's good.
We're competitive. We offer a lot. And we try and always offer the most that we can based on those decisions. But we're grown up about it. We want to make sure we offer things which don't put our customers at risk.
That's why you guys are shortlisted for the Baltic and Scandinavian Gaming Awards in Riga.
Go to that.
So as an operator, are there any lost opportunities or costs from not investing resources into esports?
I mean, potential. You're losing potential. You're making a bet. You're making a more conservative choice. I'll give that. First mover. I mean, you'll probably find you'll be left behind. I mean, we know, I think I've spoken about this before with you guys. We know that as the age demographic gets older of people who bet, then it shrinks. You know, it's perpetual within sports betting. That's a cycle which gets smaller and smaller. And that's why at the moment operators are, you know, there's a big push for diversification by region. But in the end, you can't escape the fact that there is a finite number of countries that you can go to or that you want to go to and operate.
All right.
And I think the thing that you miss out on is getting access to a database of players that you wouldn't have had before first, or within the first movers, and or within an area before the markets get saturated. So I would say it's, you know, the clock is ticking more so than it ever was. Otherwise, you're just going to be another one who has a similar product to someone else, and you're competing, and then your marketing cost goes up. You know, at the moment, spend a bit of money, you know, speculate on some acquisition, get in some esports players, let's see what they do. You know, we see perpetual growth in performance on both margin and bet volume. It's going up and up and up. We see that. And without the things that we've already spoke about and actually happening and knowing about, it's not with those knowledge gaps, we can fill that in. And it's going to get even faster. So it's a simple thing to say first mover, but I do think operators will start to be left behind, and then you're spending money on marketing.
Exactly. So the operator squad listening right now are maybe questioning or wondering if they now make the step to add esports to their roadmap. What are the three key things that you would suggest to them?
I would say have a jurisdiction in mind. So have an idea of where you want to go, what territories you're going to offer that, and what esports, because esports is jurisdictional, you know.
Yep.
Even, you know, it's like even from state to state in the US, it's jurisdictional. So, you know, think about the titles that are popular. Don't just go in there and say, let's do some esports.
Exactly.
You know, that's a flat approach. I think pick the right partner. You know, without me getting too salesy here, pick a partner that you know you're going to get a good performance out of, and what that performance looks like for you. From our perspective, performance is about how you're betting for product performs. So do you make good margin? You know, does it encourage your players to bet? Do you have a good variety there? Do you have a good variety of bet types? You know, do you have a good variety of product? I think those are some of the biggest ones, really. And then can you get it to market quickly? And then do you have a plan in how to market it? Are you going to put acquisition behind it? Are you going to look at it from your own player database? I would always recommend that you look at esports as an acquisition piece. I think that would be my star. And these are things that we've explored before in our white paper. And I say this to many prospects and many people, many betting companies, is you don't have to know everything. We're here to help you. We're here to advise. We're very consultative. We won't just bash out some commercials that we think someone should have. You know, here it is. This is our standard. We want to work with us operators. Why we work on RevShare? They grow, we grow. Very, very important to us. And I think it's the only way to go. You know, we want it to work, but have an idea of what you want. You know, let's have an idea that I want to look at Brazil, and we want to, what would you recommend for that? And what markets are good? You know, what esports are popular there? What markets do well? These kind of things. And we can give all that insight, and we have pedigree of really strong betting performance behind us.
All right. So my final question to you is about being up to date with the latest technological development. And I want to ask, how do you stay up to date with the latest technological developments in the esports industry? And how do you incorporate these into your offering and services?
For us, actually, we take a lot from outside the industry. So we look at the industry. We look at what the industry does. You know, that's one of the things that that's one of my jobs. And our CEO is very, very plugged in as well. And, you know, we've got a sales team and a team which has a lot of betting experience as well. So we know the industry. So we look at what's going on there. But actually, we take a lot from outside and we take a lot from our own ideas. We don't follow trends too much unless there's something which is, you know, look, this is something we should really be paying attention to. We look to do our own thing. We evaluate, we test and learn. I think it's simple. It's Handerscore is an amazing culture. It's an incredibly kind of powerful, you know, let's try something out on a small scale, see if it works, see what happens, take the results, scale it again and go again and go again. And I think that's at the heart of why we can innovate as we do. We will obviously listen. We listen to what our customers want. We listen to what prospects want as well. And we've done that. We developed, like when we launched with a client last year, they asked us for very specific features. We delivered those features upon within 6 weeks, you know, of them.
Oh, nice.
Anything. So we're really good at that. We listen, we do what we can. If we can't do it, we're honest. We say, you know, if it doesn't fall into line strategically, but we always listen.
All right. So I hope that our listeners have also listened and noted some of the things they talked about today. And I would like to thank you for your time, Oli, and thank our audience for listening. If you have any final words that you would like to say, just...
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Zoltan. And I would say to your listeners, if they want to come and talk to me, feel free, reach out to me. I'm happy to chat and advise about esports, even if it isn't on a direct sales relationship, you know, and come and talk to us at Pandascore. We know what we're doing. We pride ourselves on our product, and we're very open about what we do. Also, my dog, I'm sorry about that, guys, but
no worries.
And now you all know him as well.
All right. Thank you so much, and thank you everyone for joining us. We will be back next week. Take good care.
Thank you for joining. Be sure to check back next week for the next Hit the Talks and subscribe on Amazon Music, Overcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, MixCloud, and Pandora.